Our scripture lesson today comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 29. Hebrews chapter 12, incidentally, do you know how Moses makes coffee? He brews it. I know it's old, but it still makes me laugh. How do people say a joke that is old, that makes you laugh, is not worth telling again? It's funny to me. It's funny. See, John George back there shaking his head. He went, "Yep, it's funny." So you're outnumbered. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 29. For the sermon title, and here's why. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched, that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. Even if an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirit of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, "Once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens." The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken. That is, created things, so that which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. May God add his blessings to that passage. May we seek him in prayer. Father, we thank you. We ask that these words make sense, that they be strengthened, that they add to the things we've heard today and sung about, Father. And may we grow from it and go from here ready to meet the world anew, walking as we should in the light of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, and all of his children said, Amen. And here's why. Now, recently, I caused quite a stir with some words that I said. Now, I know you find it hard to believe that I would actually say something that would cause trouble or cause a stir, that I'm generally meek and quiet in my demeanor, and I measure each word that comes out of my mouth carefully to make sure that nothing comes out to cause trouble. And recently, I said something that caused trouble, caused a stir, caused a ruckus. And here's why. We say these words, and they're almost always not nearly enough. As a matter of fact, they are meant to be used constantly with strength and meaning, and far too often we don't. And here's why. We approach the Christmas season, and there are a handful of movies that I love at Christmas time. And I love it because everybody in my house doesn't like them, which means when I sit down to watch them, they leave me alone for 5 minutes until they walk in the room and they say, "Why are you watching this movie?" And I have to say, because I like it. We all like it. But one of my favorite movies coming up at Christmas is a classic. It is a literary giant. It should be preserved in the halls of Congress. You know, when they preserve one of those movies, the acting is above board. The writing of the story is something that is going to go on for generations. And it's simply a captivating giant of literature transformed into a movie. It's probably in my top five favorite Christmas movies of all time. Ernest Saves Christmas. What in the world are you laughing for? Ernest P. Worrell Saves Christmas. Every year when that time comes around, I pick a moment which I can sit down and watch that movie from beginning to end because I love that movie. There is nothing in that movie that is not good and wholesome and decent. As a matter of fact, if you've never seen the movie, the whole story is Santa Claus has reached his time. It's time for him to retire. And as Santa Claus is due, they go out and they seek their replacement. And it must be a person who embodies spirit. And here's why. Because in order to be Santa Claus, you have to be able to give it out freely, without concern, and without ever asking for anything to come back in return. And so Santa Claus comes to, of all places, Miami, Florida, which I haven't figured that out yet, to seek out a man named Joe Carruthers. Because Joe Carruthers embodies the Christmas spirit. Because Joe Carruthers has dedicated his life to helping and teaching and lifting up. And here's why. Because he is going to be Santa Claus. And the whole movie is about how Joe Carruthers doesn't want to be Santa Claus because he doesn't think he's worthy. And the Santa Claus that's in the movie keeps trying to get to him. And in the middle of all that, our hero, Ernest P. Worrell, saves him. As a matter of fact, he picks Santa Claus up at the airport. And when he finds out he's going to meet Joe Carruthers, he says, "You mean from Uncle Joe's treehouse?" Santa says, "Did you ever hear of the man?" He says, "I should. Uncle Joey's treehouse." He said, "Are you kidding?" And he sings the catchphrase of Uncle Joey's treehouse. "They never get old. They always seem new. Those three little words, please and thank you." Oh, and here's why. I said thank you this week. I wrote a detailed email to a certain group of people who helped me out on a project at a time when I had to get this thing done. I had to get gas on the line. And things weren't going well. And I reached out and I asked for help. And people from the company stepped up and helped me. So I did what I was supposed to do. I said please. Because I know how to say please. Would you like to hear me say please in my most emphatic way? That guarantees you that when I say please, you'll want to do something for me. Are you ready? Now listen. Now listen carefully. "But my life is so full and so difficult. And you are such the person that can help me. Would you please let me buy another tractor?" Oh, I'm telling you, I'm good. And I said please. And then I wrote these things about thank you. I never gave it another thought. Because they helped. And suddenly I start getting all this correspondence back from managers and directors and vice president. "Paul, that was wonderful. The words you wrote, that stuff that we don't see. We wish there was more of it," and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, that says something wrong. That says something about where we stand as a culture, as a person. And here's why. Because I think sometimes we've forgotten the meaning of those words. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. A little boy, 9 years old, was suffering from a lot of different ailments. And every time he went to the doctor, he had to get a shot or he had to draw a little bit of blood and it hurt him. And when he would cry about it, the doctors were unable to stop him from feeling this. And they tried to figure out what to do. And finally, one of the doctors said to him, "The reason that we're doing this is to help you get better. We're going to find a way to get you better." And so as he went yet again for another doctor's visit where they were going to give him a shot or draw blood from him, he said, "Thank you for my hurting. You're trying to help me." Thank you. We're but a few short days away from... Yeah, last Sunday when I got wound up because, you know, somebody was going to hit me with a pie. We got in the car to leave that day and I was feeling pretty sweet. Get it? Pretty sweet. And I was feeling pretty sweet about myself. And my wife turned to me, whom I've loved all of our life together being married. And Marvin, quite frankly, you blaming Mita for some of the stuff up there, I do not want to be in the car when you go home. You better learn how to say please and thank you before you get past those doors back there. Matter of fact, you ought to turn to her right now and go, thank you, dear. You are the greatest. You helped me write that. Because otherwise, I see a frying pan in your future. And it will not be filled with food. She turned to me when we got in the car. She goes, you know, Thanksgiving isn't for 2 more weeks. Yes, I'm quite well aware of that. Well, you told your Thanksgiving sermon. What are you going to do next Sunday? I know what I'm going to do. You did say. You said, what are you going to do next Sunday? Oh, yeah, I think that's how you said it. Imagine what our car ride's going to be like. But we sit and we listen to Marvin. And we stop for a moment and we go, that's wonderful. But then, do we say thank you? Marvin, you forgot your little saying that you told me back here in the office. Do you remember what it was?
You can't. You have to be tested to have a testimony.
You have to be tested to have a testimony. Thank you for testing me. I've heard people say, well, the Lord don't test. Wrong. The Lord puts you to where the tests are. The Lord allows you to be there so that when it's done, you may step back and go, thank you. And here's why. Because we forget. Because we get too wrapped up in our own nature. We have to take a moment and stop and look around. And the joy in this church is exceeding. Look at Walter. Walter came back in today. Now, I was stunned when I saw Walter. Not because he's got less hair. He must have got his summer haircut. Walter, it is winter. Not because of that. Not because he was in a wheelchair. That's just normal stuff. Because of his countenance. You look at his face, his eyes are brighter. Rose said it's because he gets to eat. I can understand that. Thank you. And here's why I can understand that. Because in a few short days, it's Thanksgiving, right, Walter? Turkey, ham, all the fixings. If you're in my household, it's fried oyster season. Oh, yeah. And as we well know, I am the greatest oyster fryer on the face of this planet. That's a whole nother sermon later on. But these are the things we're thankful for. We're thankful that we had to go through this stuff. But it doesn't make sense, does it? Everywhere, there is a reason. There is a moment where God is asking you to stop for a moment and listen to him and say thank you. I want to read this card to you. It's very, very interesting. I'm sure the man that gave me the card this morning didn't realize it was going to become part of the sermon. But when he did, I said, ha, ha, ha. I love you, God. Thank you. Buck knives, famous forever warranty. I want to read you the warranty for Buck pocket knives and Buck knives. And if you carry a knife, really there's only 3 kinds of knives in this entire world that you're ever supposed to carry. One of them is a Barlow knife. Anybody in here ever had your Barlow knife? That was your first knife, wasn't it? And the first thing you did when you got your first Barlow knife was you thought you were clever with it and you cut yourself with it, didn't you? And what'd your father say when you cut yourself with it, dummy? Then there's Buck knives and there's Gerber, but this is Buck. I want to read this the famous forever warranty. Listen to me. Buck Knives unconditionally warrants that it will repair or replace at their option, replace this knife. If it is found to contain any defects in material or workmanship, the warranty covers replacement parts and labor. The warranty does not cover misuse, abuse, or products that have been modified in any way. If you have a knife, what's the first thing you do? You abuse it and misuse it. Please visit our website, www.bachknives, blah, 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 to register, to be added to our warranty registration and become part of the Buck family. Please indicate the problem with your item and send it in to the following departments, which they give. It's right here. But then on the back, that's where this changes. A message from the Buck family. As my father, I'm telling you, I'm going to have a hard time reading it because I cannot stop smiling when I do. As my father, Chuck Buck, would say, I didn't even know that Chuck Buck was the man, but as my father, Chuck Buck, would say, if this is your first Buck knife, welcome aboard. You are part of a very large family. We thank each one of you. We thank each one of our users is a new member of the Buck Knives family, and we take care of our own. Note to my wife, my Christmas list will now include a buck knife that I've been looking at. It's only $100, but that's all right. Now you want the best, you got to pay for it. Wait! Now that you are family, you might want to know a little bit more about us. Dad said it best when he said, the fantastic growth of Buck Knives Incorporated was no accident. From the beginning, we determined to make God our senior partner. In a crisis, the problem was turned over to him, and he hasn't failed to help us with the answer. Each knife must reflect the integrity of the management. If sometimes we fail on our end, it is because we are human. We find it imperative to do our utmost to make it right. If any of you are troubled or perplexed and looking for answers, may we invite you to look to Him, for God loves you. C.J. Buck, CEO, Chairman of Buck Knives. For God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should have everlasting life. It came in a package with a knife, a buck knife, that somebody in this building ordered. Mike, are you carrying the knife that you ordered?
No.
Do you have a pocket knife with you, Mike? Bet you won't make that mistake again, will you? Mike got this. He was so excited when he got the package. He called me up. He said, man, you're never going to believe this. I said, tell me all about it. He said, this came in. I said, you got to bring the card in. And Mike brought it in on the day that I want to talk about saying thank you. And here's why. I'll give this back to you, Mike. Because now I'm going to order my own buck knife so I can become part of the Buck family. Here's why. The writer in Hebrews says, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness and gloom, to a trumpet blast, or to a voice speaking such words that those who heard it begged to stop. He is saying you have come to Jesus Christ. You've come to what you can touch and feel and accept and love and hold on to. And for that, be thankful. Because those who have heard God when He roared from the mountain, when He made Moses tremble, those that heard the roaring and the fire and the loudness and the explosions, when they turned their hearts away, they were cast into hell. Now how much more will we be cast away if we turn away from the voice crying in the wilderness? Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, Let us be thankful. We need to be thankful. We need to be thankful always. Now on his way to Jerusalem in Luke chapter 17, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going to the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. God bless you." Now, we need to say thank you without anything in return. And here's why. God bless you. What are you two linked in together?
I don't know.
Brother and sister?
I don't know.
What are you, allergic to each other?
No, probably.
Here's why we got to say thank you and just say it and walk away. Don't ever expect anything to come back from it. That's not your job. Your job is to give, and if someone says thank you, accept it, love them, and keep going. Don't do it for the accolades. Jesus Christ said 10 went, 1 came back. A foreigner, not a Jew, not a follower, a Samaritan. Hey, are you ready for it? Hey, what? What are we? We're not Jewish. Who are we?
Gentiles.
Because it's for everyone. Say thank you. And here's why. You may mess up somebody's day. You may make them go, "Wow, that person said that." Say it and mean it. Don't just accept these blessings. Understand that as the Hebrews writer is saying, as we come forward into this Thanksgiving season, we need to be thankful. But not because of, but because of. We don't need to be thankful because this year I get to smoke a turkey. Oh, that's great. Or I've got this, I've got that. We need to be thankful of the Jesus Christ who died for our sins, that this world may have kept on spinning, that this world may have kept on going until He came back, that at some point, pilgrims who fell in line, in lockstep with Jesus Christ, decided to break away from that which was oppressing them and come here to give us life. That is Thanksgiving. Amen. In his autobiography, Breaking Barriers, Carl Rowan, the syndicated columnist, tells about a teacher who greatly influenced his life. I love teacher stories. He says, "Miss Thompson reached into her desk drawer and pulled out a piece of paper containing a quote attributed to Chicago architect Daniel Burnham. I listened intently as she read. Now listen, make no little plans. They have no magic to stir men's blood, and probably themselves will not be realized. Make big plans. Aim high in hope and work. Remember that our sons and grandsons are going to do things that would stagger us." More than 30 years later, I gave a speech, he says, in which I said that Francis Thompson had given me a desperately needed belief in myself. A newspaper printed the story. Someone mailed the clipping to my beloved teacher. She wrote me, "You have no idea what that newspaper story meant to me. For years, I have endured my brother's arguments that I wasted my life, that I should have married and had a family. And when I read that you gave me credit for helping to launch a marvelous career, I put the clipping in front of my brother. And after he read it, I said, 'You see, I didn't waste my life, did I?'" Here's why. Because we have it. Those three little words, please, and thank you. Thank you. I am privy to things that you all don't see on the backside of what we do here. And I say it a lot. And I mean it more than I could probably put into words. That I am thankful to be a part of this family. As is everyone gathered in here, thankful to be a part of the family. Because that's what we are. We're not this person or that person. We're Longmeadow. We're Christ's children and creation. I can't believe the unbelievable blessing that He lets me come here. Lets me. I don't come here because I think I'm really good. I know better. I don't come here because I think I'm great. I come here because He allows it. You come here because He allows it. And here's why. He allows it because He allowed His Son to die for our sins. The Hebrew writer is writing those words to something that is unshakable. Because the time will come when the trumpet will blow and the whole earth will shake. And every man's going to bow down. Atheist and believer, all of them, and proclaim Him as King. And what we do here now matters. When we say those words, they touch somebody. Forgive me when I whine. Today upon a bus, I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. I envied her. She seemed so gay. And how I wished I were so fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one foot and wore a crutch, but as she passed me with a smile, I said, "Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have the 2 feet. The world is mine." And when I stopped to buy some sweets, the lad who served me had such charm. He seemed to radiate good cheer. His manner was so kind and warm. I said, "It's nice to deal with you. Such a courtesy I seldom find." He turned and said, "Oh, thank you, sir." And then I saw the lad was blind. "Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 eyes. The world is mine." Then when walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. It seemed he knew not what to do. I stopped a moment, then I said, "Why don't you join the others, dear?" He looked ahead without a word, and then I realized he could not hear. "Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 ears. The world is mine. With my feet to take me where I'd go, with eyes to see the sunset's glow, with ears to hear what I would know, I am blessed indeed. The world is mine. Oh God, forgive me when I whine." And here's why. Thank you. The first national Thanksgiving Proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His health benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor, whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now therefore I do recommend next to be devoted by the people of the states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may unite in rendering to Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country. 1779, George Washington. And here's why. Because He died, we live to give thanks and say thank you. I encourage you to try it this week. For no other reason, just to see what would happen. Catch somebody off guard. Thank you. For what? Make sure you thank the waitress. Make sure you thank the salesperson when you're going out at the Home Depot. Because you're in a bad mood because the person in front of you made you wait because they counted out their life savings in penny to pay for their item. Thank them and mean it. And here's why. You show the light of Christ every time. Happy and blessed Thanksgiving to you, family. May God be upon you. Let us pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for giving us the things that you gave us, for taking away the things that you took, for being there, for testing us, for giving us words, for taking away words. Thank you, Father, for all these things, these many, many things. Pray, Father, that you continue to press upon our hearts the need to be thankful. If but for any other reason, to show that the testing gives us testimony. May God be upon you. May God be with us. May your Son be with us. May He watch over and keep us in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.